Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all right. So how you been, Brother Satabi?
Hey, man, I'm doing fine, man. Just reaction, you know, yesterday reaction to last night's slap of Will Smith and Chris Rock.
Yeah, well, I heard about it.
We can go ahead and start broadcasting, man, because we live on Facebook, on Blog Talk.
Okay, but I'm going to give three more people just chime on in. Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, Brother Bill, how you doing, sir? Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News newspaper. I want to welcome you all to our simulcast, podcast, whatever you want to call it, broadcast. And, we wasn't on last week. And due to, this is the time of the season when we start putting this publication together for our second quarter. And because we deal with so many people, sometimes it can get overwhelming. So, but that's what happened last week. But thank God we're here tonight. There's a lot going on in town, out of town, and around town. So we're going to get started on the free things. But before I jump into some of these major discussions that's taking place recently, I want to bring on my partner and co-host, Mr. Satabi Jahi, who has always had something positive to say about this and about that. Brother Satabi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. We do every time we come on these airways, we open up with reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who is also the author of Think and Grow Rich, which is a manual for how black people can break the curse of poverty in their families and their family lives and move on to wealthy and more prosperous situations. And the reading for the night goes like this. The People's Court. The most effective recourse is the quality of your performance. The energy should be directed to doing the best job you can do. And that quote is from Clifton Wharton, Jr., Deputy Secretary of the United States Department. We should judge ourselves by what we feel capable of doing, not by what we have done. Nothing else will motivate you to greatness so much as a belief in your own inherent potential. There's potency inside of you that will transform your dreams into realities if you tap into them. You be the judge. You should not be afraid to think too highly of yourself. The Creator made you and is not ashamed of the job He did. He pronounced His work good, and you should respect it. Persistently hold the thought that you are eternally progressing towards something higher and greater. The constant struggle to measure up to such a worthy ideal is the only force in heaven or on earth that can make a life great. Your self-image depends on your ideal of yourself, the mental picture of the person that you are, the you that you are meant to be. It is you who will define your own greatness. No one can stop your date with destiny. No one can cast your fate. You are the judge and the jury. The vision that grips your heart, the longing of your soul to do something significant, the dream of high achievement that occupies your imagination, is not a mere fantasy. It is a prophecy of the great things you will do if you believe in your own potential. I will never sell myself short. I will never underestimate my own ability. That's our reading for the night, and I hope people got something out of that reading. I got a lot out of it. And, you know, we definitely need to recognize our own potential and our God-given gifts that we were given. All of us have special talents, and we should recognize those talents and nurture them so that we can achieve the things that we want to achieve in this life while we're still here on this earth. So I thank you for allowing me to be able to read that and turn it back over to you, David.
I appreciate that, brother, man. You know, Brother Satavi, like I say, I love those readings because they're so encouraging. And so, you know, not only encouraging it, but full of wisdom. And I appreciate you for that, brother. And I want to recognize a few people on book tonight. They're chiming in. We got Trudy Williams, Mr. Rico Crowley, my other co-host, Michael Thomas, Mr. Michael Haney, Tomico, and Bill Gooden, Vernon Streeter. And so, you know, welcome all to, you know, to the broadcast podcast. And, you know, there's several things that's happening around the country. But one of the things, a couple of things that is breaking news. And one of them is, and when the brother come in, I know he's going to be late, is about the, I believe call it the Black Network Channel, just went under. And they sunk a lot of money into this thing. It's been around for a couple of years. And but when Dr. Leroy McKenzie come in, he has more details about that. I saw some of the information on it, but, you know, it just, unfortunately, it's another one of us media sources that has went under. And like I always often tell you, that we only let them 1% of the media. And so it hurts me personally to see, you know, our voices being shut down like that. And thank God for people like the National Black Unity News. We got Brother Michael Haney on there, who's in media, and a couple other people that is associated with us, and they're still going strong. Thank God for that. But in any case, you know, I'm going to bring up a couple of subjects that y'all can help me out with, because it's been brought to my own personal attention. I know some of you may have heard me speak about this, is the educational system that's taking place. It was brought to my attention that my grandchildren was failing. Then I talked to a few other people that's associated with the National Black Unity News, and a lot of them have similar problems. Then I belong to this national organization called, you know, the National Council of Elders, and a couple other people I talked to. And it seemed like it just not happened to me personally, but it's happening all over the country, even on the news. They would kind of blame it on the pandemic because, you know, people being taught at home. I know it had a lot to do with that. But in hindsight, our educational system has always been, from my perspective, on very low scale compared, you know, even compared not just on my basis, but on worldwide standards. We way below the chart. We're supposed to be one of the most industrious, most technical country in the world. But when it comes to our education system, you know, something's terribly wrong. But not only is the children having a difficult time keeping up their grades, but they're also having mental challenges. A lot of them even committing suicide. And most of you know, I don't have no shame in my age, but I think it's a badge of honor. I'm 70 years old. But you know, when I was a child, you know, my mother and father and them, you know, they had to do, it was eight of us, they had to do what they had to do, you know, to take care of us. You know, they worked. And, you know, back in them days, they didn't have the microwaves and the instance of this, you know, so they had to get up and fix breakfast, cook breakfast, I mean, from scratch and all of that, you know, and then get us all off to school, get our clothes ready. So they didn't have a lot of time for lovey-dovey and sitting down with one-on-ones and all of that kind of stuff. You know, they did what they could. But it was the grandparents that seemed to have more time for you. But a lot of them was retired. You know, they never retired, but I'm talking about, you know, they did what they had to do. But they would spend more time explaining things to you. Because my parents would tell me because I said so. But my grandparents were the ones who had a little bit more reason. They would tell me why I couldn't do this or why I shouldn't do that. And so I want to throw a few things out there. And, of course, y'all heard about the unfortunate incident on a worldwide basis that we, a couple of our entertainers kind of got into it, you know, on a live broadcast. And with Will Smith and Chris Rock. And, you know, some people, you know, the after effect of, you know, of course, it makes us all, you know, I'm talking about black people, makes us all look kind of bad that we had to do that out in public like that. But, you know, but then again, a lot of people defended my brother, Will Smith, because he was honoring, standing up for his wife. But still, you know, I can say, you know, get caught up in the moment kind of stuff. But, you know, and it was, for me, it was kind of shocking because Will Smith is one of those type brothers that always be putting out positive information, how to overcome and things like that. But in any case, it happened, it's over with, and now the media having their time with it. And again, we as a people have always been crucified through media. But for some reason this time around, it's not as harsh as it would normally be because a lot of people got behind Will because he was defending his lady, his wife. And you know, and some were saying, people, you know, sometimes you can joke and have fun, but sometimes you can cross the line. But still, nevertheless, you know, that outward display could have went way bad. But, you know, I understand that the two brothers got together at the show and they kind of, you know, squashed it, so to speak. But, you know, but of course, media ain't going to let it go. It's going to last for some time now. And of course, I don't know what the mother folks say, but I know what they've been saying about us. You know, I don't care how much money they make, how well they can sing, dance, or play ball. Ain't none of them about nothing. And that's the way a lot of them feel about us. So I'll just be straight up about that. But in any case, you know, we just humans and, you know, and we have our personal feelings and, you know, and things like that happen. But in any case.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thanks.
And I just want to throw this out there to you all, you know, because there's two or three things. This educational system I just mentioned and the decline of our black media. And anything else, so I'm gonna have what you call open mic night, so to speak. And but I want to throw this out there to Bill. I know you said you having some problems hearing.
Yeah, I hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I hear you.
And Bill, by the way, I got you on here. You got I don't know if you want to mention this now, but you know it's up to you. But you got a couple of events coming up soon. And I was talking about education, the atrocities that's taking place in our system and what's going on with our children right now. And for me, it's a personal thing. But then again, when I start talking to people all over this country, it's a pandemic epidemic as far as I'm concerned. But it's always been that way, but even more so now, because children are, you know, having some mental, going into states of depression and even to the point of suicide. But there's a couple of events that are coming up to dealing with education. Would you like to share a little bit about this, brother?
Well, I do, Dave. First, let me just say thank you and thank everybody for being on. And, of course, I'm hoping everybody on here can pretty much agree. And I know Michael Haney can because we got two brothers running for this is the first year that Baltimore City have had a partially elected school board. So they're going to elect two members this year through the voting process. And it's 11 people running, and Mike Johnson as well as CeeDee Witherspoon is running. Now, I'm doing a fundraiser for Mike and CeeDee on May the 2nd, right? And I always say that everybody, you know, these brothers have been out there for years, David, just as long as we've been out there, right? Fighting for education issues, fighting for children, fighting for us as a people, and constantly fighting, right? So, you know, here's an opportunity to really change the makeup of the school board, because not will they be elected by the mayor, but they'll be elected by the people. So on May 2nd, I'm doing a fundraiser asking anybody, you know, that's interested to please support it. It's $50, like I said, for both the brothers. It's going to be food, entertainment, and, of course, you know, trying to help to raise money for them to have a decent campaign. And I just think, Dave, listen, you know, when we know people's out there fighting for our best interests, then if we don't support the people that we already know fighting, then we can't continue to support people hoping that they fight. Now when we got people that got a proven track record. And I'm saying Michael Johnson, as well as CeeDee Witherspoon, has been out there for a long time fighting for the people and will continue to fight for the people. So I feel that I owe it to them to try to help them to make this giant step. With this being the first time that we have had a partially elected school board. So that's that on that end. And if I can, I would just like to say real quick, 2 days, on April the 4th, the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's death, we will be having a protest in front of City Hall, because on that date, City Hall is supposed to have a partial reopening. Well, we're saying, no, we need more than a partial reopening. We need City Hall to open up totally, right? And the people need to know the truth in terms of why the partial opening and why City Hall has been closed all this time. And at the same time, we need to thank the people and acknowledge the people for making City Hall at least have a partial opening. Because it's not because City Hall is doing it because they want to do it. It's because of the pressure that the people has kept on while City Hall is taking this here step.
And can you explain a little bit why City Hall was closed? What else was open and why they was closed?
Well, you know, like I said many times, David, you know, it was a lot of things open. You know what I mean? You had bars open. You had restaurants open. You had stadiums open where you had thousands and thousands of people screaming over top of each other's head without no mask on. But then you could justify closing City Hall and city agencies and using COVID as an excuse. You know, and again, I you know, what I've been telling people is that they're using COVID as a way to change the system. And in the future, we're going to have less access to government officials, because what we're doing now is the way of the future, right? They're going to want us to conduct most of our business through Zoom and by telephone, and they're going to take the interaction, the personal interaction of people having to conduct their business. So it is important that people see why you should be able to go into City Hall to conduct your business or to confront the people that you have voted to elect you.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. You know, because that is a real contradiction that you can open up all of these different things around the city, but shut down a city government. You know, just don't add up to me. But in any case, Tomiko, how you doing? Tomiko.
Peace and blessing, Brother David Murphy. I am good. I appreciate this platform. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, well, you know, you are a very talented lady. You know, you also...
Oh, no.
You're also in media,
yeah.
And also, you know, we were just recently on with Brother Cliff,
yeah.
You know, try to get this program off the ground, where we try to unite our people. But one of the major subjects, and you was one of the co-hosts, and one of the major subjects that came up was about education.
I was just helping facilitate, just moderator. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking as I saw your topic came up on my phone, and I was so glad that the group selected, I thought it was interesting how the different platforms was education and culture. And I remember mentioning to one of the elders about the different choices and how the group mentioned that, and he said, that's good. He said, that's excellent. He said, because we got to educate our own. He like, oh, this elder. And so when I was looking at your topic, how stories can change history, you know, because of meeting with that coalition we got going on with Brother Cliff, I started reading our ancestors' book, Walter Rodney, How You Have Underdeveloped Africa. And it's basically Africa, America, it's the same thing. But one thing he talks in here about is how colonialism, how they took over the institutions and the education system. But one of the things he says that Africans ceased to set indigenous cultural goals and standards and lost full command of training young members of the society. He said, if you are now a participant in history, it's like you don't exist when they take over the education system. So it's the same thing here in America. And so, you know, our stories have got to be told, but we really haven't changed history. We've been following history. We ain't been his story. We haven't been telling our story. And so I was thinking about, you know, you're talking about Black National, leaving us. We have really got to take control of our story and our children and educate them ourselves. Because this education, this is not ours. It belongs to another culture group. They don't even look like us, don't come from us. And so we're going to have to get down to it. There's the groups in Richmond, Virginia. I haven't gone since the COVID, but it's a large network of African-Americans who've been homeschooling their children. And the children are doing excellent. They've been doing this about 15, 20 years, large network in Richmond. And I think we're going to have to come to some decisions and unplug and really own our children and chart their futures. Our brother, dear beloved Malcolm X, told us, you know, he that sets the future, who educates his children, you set the future. So we're going to have to get down to it. Thank you, Brother David. That's just a few of my thoughts. Just the theme is so powerful tonight. It made me just reflect and reading this book. But it's a very powerful topic. There's a lot to unpack from that theme you got going on. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I appreciate your input, you know, because, like I say, you're very knowledgeable about a lot of things. But, Dr. Pender, are you available?
Yes, I'm available.
Yes, Dr. Pender, you and I had a conversation, the same thing about education the other day. And what was your take on that? We were talking about this educational system that we deal with here in this country.
Well, what happened, a country that dominates another country and put them into slavery, the first thing they do is ensure that they get an education, which is actually an indoctrination. They indoctrinate them into the way in which they have their societies, and who controls education are those who are the bourgeoisies.
Yes.
And so what happened when they control it, they put whatever they want to put in so that they can maintain control. And so what happened in the 1960s, and one of the speakers said that Martin Luther King said that he led his people down the wrong way when we went from segregation to integration, and then education became one of those big things. I have to have an education. In other words, I got to be indoctrinated to be as society want me to be in order to fit in. In other words, my emotions overcome my well-being of having a good solid mind. But our forefathers only had a fifth grade education and could rule the world. In fact, the Jews today and my forefathers would take a fifth grade, a sixth grade education, the basics, and go and rule, just do anything they want to do. In fact, most of them own their own businesses. But today, we have higher educations, but we have less. Way less. And what have my kids right now are killing themselves because they can't achieve as to what society wants them to be. Society has called them everything under the sun. And if you mean to tell me I spend $50 million and call you a NIG, well, whatever it is, and treat you like a dog, and all of a sudden I'm going to spend $20 billion to educate you? There's something wrong with that picture. I'm educating you for one reason, so I can get you so you can sit in the corner, be quiet, get a degree, get a bachelor's, get a master's, get a doctorate, speak another language, go in the hood so that people can't understand you, feel better than they are, and practice contempt among yourselves. That's basically what it does.
Wow, you said quite a bit there. But, you know, it does make perfect sense to me because, you know, we used to say in the hood back in the day, you know, why hip a lane to the game? You know, because he may come back and overtake you or something. So why would you tell somebody how to be better than them? You know, and so, you know, it makes sense that, you know, the system that I came up in, you know, they say go to school, get a job, and live happily ever after. You know, no one taught me about being an entrepreneur, you know, how to make money, how to use money. But they taught us, you know, we spend, you know, of course, we good at spending money, but nobody tell you how money really works. And so, in hindsight, in order for us to move forward, you know, we got to let go of some things. And Sister Tomiko, I keep getting the name mixed up. You know, even if it's homeschooling, you know, we had these charter schools. But there's one thing that I always wanted to do. Was open up a school, an entrepreneurial school. Torah.
Oh, I love that idea, Brother David. You be perfect for that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, because like I said, we have quite a few entrepreneurs, but you know, back in the day, we had a thing called apprenticeship programs. You know, if you wanted to be a mechanic, you hung around the mechanics, and they would teach you from A to Z.
Bricklayer,
you know, anything. You know, we had all of these things back in the day. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you had an interest back in the day, those who was in that field would pick you right on up and teach you. And so, but you know, they call some things progress, but we regressed on a lot of things, you know, that we have given ourselves away to people who really don't care about us. And so we definitely going to have to make some changes if we want to go forward. Now, I'm sitting up here all upset about my grandchildren and why they're going through these changes. And come to find out, in reality, I had a better education than they had with all of this program with computers, calculators, and everything else. Because our children, I'm going to just put it this way. You ask a child to count money. Ain't got to be no young child. I'm talking about teenage. You go to these jobs, McDonald's and stuff, and you give them some real change. They had to give you back some real money. You see how difficult it on them, you know, because they used to use and calculate. And then we came up with timetables. We had to know this stuff. We had to memorize these type of things. And you got computers. We had to go to the library and do research. I mean, we really had to study back in the day. And so now, you know, with everything's at your fingertips, but seem like, you know, the thought patterns have, you know, because they don't really give them a chance to really think for themselves. Everything is handed to you. Just ask Google or you say this and say that to the computers and the answer appears. But in any case, you know, anybody else, you know, just chime in because, you know, this is a serious subject matter.
I don't want to hog the
No, no, just go ahead and speak, sir.
But something came to mind is you mentioned that our forefathers didn't have too much of an education, but they did have a vocation. They knew how to work with the hands, and what happened, they replaced that with dependency. The dependency was, I'll give you a diploma, you put it on your wall, and you have a degree, but you must depend on me. Our forefathers depend on their relationship with God and their abilities to work with the hands. And so when they integrated the schools, the first thing they did, them white folks says, you ain't gonna whip my child. They took corporal punishment out of school. Ain't no way you're going to do this. No. And so what happened, so now there's no discipline. So when our discipline left our community, because I guess a lot of the people on this broadcast can remember, you messed up away from home, you got a whipping and you got one at home. And that's not true now. You can't even, you raise your hand at your kid now or say something, you're going to jail. And so what happened, social psychology come in and says, your parents are this and your parents are that, and you have to go with the whims of society. Society rules the whole nine yards. We're just 13% of the population, guys. And so with this, we got to go back to the basics of what got us here. Who are we and why are we here? Once we get to that particular fact and understand who we are and why we're here, and the rest of it's downhill. But I think we've missed the message somewhere. We're looking at everything being economically. You have to look at what about your morality? That overrides all of your financial goals, because if you don't have any morals, you can have $1 billion. It doesn't mean anything. What about my morality? Why can't I treat you like a human being? That means more than all the money in the world. Thank you.
Well, you know that, Dave.
Yes, sir. Come on in.
I mean, if I can, I mean, you know, Dr. Pender said a lot, you know, I mean, I certainly agree with the, you know, we need to have a, you know, a sense in terms of where we're going and where we're trying to go. But then at the same time, then we, you know, we also have to say that, you know, sometimes we embrace things that we think is progress, and what we're embracing is hurting us, right? I mean, you know, when we talk about what happened during our time, then things is totally different. You know, I mean, hell, if that's the case, all of us on here pretty much know, you know, when we was growing up, then you would know everybody on your block, the mamas, the daddies, and the children. And you would know everybody within a 10-block radius. But you live on the same block today, and if you know two people by name, you lucky, right? You know, and I'm saying all that to say this. We have embraced things that is good for us, but it's hurting us. I mean, television. When we look at television, what we used to look at compared to what we look at today, you got 500 channels, man. You know what I'm saying? So children's watching everything. You know, the games they play ain't pinball machines and had no seats and jacks and marbles no more. You know what I'm saying? They playing games on TV, man, where, you know, the more people you can kill, the bigger hero you are. You know what I'm saying? So all that is playing a part in terms of where we are mentally on our psyche, right? Now, you know, I'm saying that a lot of us, we embrace it because we say, look, new things is coming in. Technology is good for us. But no, technology is taking, you know, what one machine do, 20 people used to do, right? So as long as we got a job, we ain't worrying about them other 18 and 19 people that's getting laid off that what that technology is doing to us. So I'm just saying that I guess it's so much that we have to try to discuss and so much that we have to try to overcome. Because when you're not controlling the resources, you're not really controlling the power, then people is determining how you're going to live and what you're going to get. And that's what we embrace. And we have to try to figure it out from how they suggesting and how they implement things that we're going to live by. You know, so I mean, I just think that, you know, it's not no one thing, man. It's just so many different things that's going wrong in this society as I see it. I mean, because I said before, you know, in my personal opinion, I don't see the difference between the town we living in and Sodom and Gomorrah, man. You know what I'm saying? Because everything goes and everything is happening, right? You know, so we have failed leadership, we have failed societies, and we have failed citizenship because who do we look up to for the guidance that we need?
Well, you know what, Bill? I hear what you're saying, and you're right on point. Dr. Penn, as a matter of fact, you're all on point. But you know what? Now, I'm not going to blame anybody, but, you know, like I say, we've been sold a bad bill of goods. And, you know, because those of us who are of age have seen the time. See, you know, I remember the days, like you said, when we socialized and we had apprenticeship programs. They even paid you to go to school to learn trades and things like that, you know. And this is just one generation, I'd say two generations apart from that. And I have what you call a real concern about if my generation, when they call baby boomers, and if we don't, because the children, my children, have no clue of my upbringing. And we caught the tail end times. I came up in the 50s, and I used to listen to my grandparents who lived with 80, 90 years old. So that's almost, you know, we're only two or three generations away from slavery, you know, in reality. But the generation that we're living in, I think is so significant because if we, us, black people who are 50 years or above, don't begin to tell our stories, And re-educate ourselves back to where it used to be. I'm talking about some of the simplest things in life, like you say, morality. You know, educating ourselves. Stop falling for how we say in the hood, the okey-doke and everything that somebody throw our way and saying this is good for us. You know, and one thing that, you know, we all been blessed with, but I don't think we too often use because, like I say, they've been taking that away, the process of thinking for yourself. You know, because everything, you know, you got these little gadgets out here, you say this, and then play the music, you say, give me the answer to this, it'll do it for you. But the simple reason of processing thought for yourself, you know, because each and every one of us is unique. But in any case, you know, this concern I have is that if our generation right now do not stand up and do something, to, you know, because we had to remember stuff, you know, and we just at the age now, we can tell our stories. We can tell about our upbringing. I saw my brother on here, Michael Haney. I want you to unmute yourself, sir. You know, he just had a show this past Sunday. We had his aunt on there. He had his mother on there as his guest. And, of course, you know, he took them back to, you know, when he was a child, and he talked about their parents and, you know, how they came up, you know, and what was like doing and during their time. And see, unfortunately, because this world is so fast paced now, even our children and our children's children, our grandchildren and great grandchildren can't even conceive of the things, how things were, because nobody really told them. You know, our parents didn't, they didn't have the computers then where they could share their stories. You know, most of them didn't write the books. We have a few people wrote books, but today, while we still have time, while we still have breath, you know, we can share our stories. We can tell our stories. Because what better way to tell our own children that's coming from us? See, my grandchildren, trust me, they know I love them and I ain't going to stir them wrong. They will listen to me. They may question my thing, you know, because like I said, they can't conceive how I was brought up. But I can still tell them the stories, and I can still teach them morality, and I can still teach them how to think for themselves. You know, we have to do our part because the outside are going to do it because they are bombarded with media.
Yes. I want just one thing, just as you was talking, I was listening, Brother Bill, is I think also, too, it's important to keep in mind, you said something real important. With your generation, y'all was only 2 or 3 from slavery. That's very important. And you think about how we've been placed as Africans in America in the position. We didn't realize how that we was in a bad system of white supremacy that functions 24/7. You know, so it's not for any of us to feel bad. You know, those profound scholars and researchers that really was doing those systematic analysis like Frantz Fanon, John Henry Clark, that really didn't come along to what, the 70s? You know, just that, you know, so, you know, it's going to take our rethinking our position and really doing that systemic analysis. But Brother Bill said something I thought was important. He talked about resources, and I think we got to begin to see our children as our resource, as a resource, as a tool, as a weapon to change our story. And I think if we be our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, I know at one point me and my husband, you know, with his family, you know, they got the parents in the different things. I know we had like 5 children in here over the last few years. At one time over last year, oldest 10, youngest is 2, because the parents just, out of you know, not doing what they're supposed to do. And so we had to make some sacrifices, but the times that we had and whenever we had these different ones in our home, we gave them everything we could, right? We taught them everything we could. And later they said, remember y'all took us here, you did this. So I think it's not for us to feel bad, but just to begin to see that our children can be a resource, a tool, and a weapon going forward for the future.
Well, sister, that's a powerful affirmation too. But you know, okay. But Brother Haney, how you doing, sir?
Hey, David, good evening. You know, maybe one of the decisions that we made to challenge the desegregation of schools was a bad decision. Maybe we should never have fought to desegregate schools. Maybe we should have kept schools segregated. And I say that as I was listening to my mother and my aunt last week, and I've done 3 shows on education over the course of the past 9 months. I had the superintendent of public schools for Alabama on a couple of weeks ago, and I'm listening to everyone closely. My mother and my aunt said they had a phenomenal education, and they had teachers in the community that looked just like them, which was important to them. Carter G. Woodson talked about the miseducation of the Negro, and this was in 1933, almost 90 years ago. So what is it that we're missing that we don't take control of our own destiny? You know what I'm saying? And the real interesting thing is that a group of us today, 4 of us that are looking to find a public charter school, we're meeting today to lay out the groundwork for our nonprofit, working with a black charter school in D.C. to help show us the way. We've been working on this for a number of years, and now it's coming to fruition. Because rhetoric is good, but something that's tangible and actionable, and listening, as you said to our elders, who said, hey, you know, we don't need to go across town if we have a commitment of our community to educate our own, because when we go across town, then they have every right to miseducate us. What would we expect? When Douglas and Carver and Dunbar were the only choices and we only saw what we saw in schools educating us, which looked like us, wow, graduation rates in the 70s and 80s, kids skipping school, even though many of them went into trade. You know, we were very successful. So we have to look at the models that worked for our forefathers, our parents, who went to school, and then look at the atrociousness of education now, where our kids are graduating with over 58% of them in Baltimore City, at least, not being able to read above the fourth grade level. What can you do with that? And then we talk about the systemic issues with incarceration, which was just a transition from one form of slavery to another. But what can you do with a fourth grade reading level at 19, 20, and 21 in the 21st century? So I refuse to continue to blame issues on others. Instead, as you said, David, in some video that I watched, you know, be part of the process and participate, and not just be part of rhetoric. I'm wondering, as I listen to Bill, Brother Bill, how you doing, man? As I listen to Brother Bill talk about the fundraiser, which I absolutely support with Mike and Corey, who I know both, knowing that this is an election for Baltimore City School Board, right? We need a disruptor. We need a disruptor. We need a disruptor on the school board that stands for something that will give us the resources we need to lay the foundation of strong education, because the system doesn't want us to educate our children. It's just fine as what is going on, because every child that goes to prison is a lawyer's fee, a private collection fee, a fine with the court system. So we're just perpetuating an economic system for them and don't really understand the dynamics of what is going on. And then they put us in charge, right?
Yep.
Of systems with no disruptors, no disruptors. So I hope Corey and Mike are talking about a strategy that will at least allow one of them to win, and that we're being, I wish they were on this call, because, you know, it would be great to give them some thoughts, right? Because we got to begin to get honest with each other. You know, Carter G. Woodson said, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one out for his special benefit. His education makes or made it necessary. Thanks a lot for letting me share. My eyes are wide open. I continue to learn as I listen. And let me just mute.
Okay, you know, Brother Haney, you know, and not only you, but everybody on this call who has spoken thus far has brought some serious issues to light that we have to deal with. You know, it's no more excuses. You know, we already know the systems are in place to keep us in a certain position. We know this. And so now it is, like you say, just like with the National Black Unity News, our mission is to be solution-oriented. And so since we're talking about this subject matter, Mr. Michael Haney obviously mentioned a charter school. We also heard about the homeschooling that's taking place in Richmond, Virginia. There's a lot of things that's already in place that we need to take a real good look at and put these things back into action again. Because if we don't, who will? And like I say, this is one of my major concerns is because we know the difference. We've seen the difference in what's going on yesterday and what's taking the day. And if we don't do something today, tomorrow don't look too good. And it's on our watch. We can't blame nobody else but us because we know better. That's why I say this is the concern age for those of us who are of age, that we have to do something, even if it's workless with your own household, because I made a commitment. I'm not looking for outside to educate my grandchild. I'm going to do what I can look for. I'm going to find people like Michael Haney and the rest of y'all who have these programs so that I can get them in there. Because I already seen what's happening to these children are committing suicide. They have no hope. And unfortunately, a lot of their parents, they just think they've been indoctrinated so, I mean, way worse than this, because, you know, the communication wasn't open the way when we was coming up. You know, we didn't have mass music media bombarding us with all this kind of crazy talk. They're filling our children's psyche about being selfish and killing and doing this kind of stuff, you know. And they couldn't isolate us. Now our children are isolated. You know, they within a cell phone, and that's how they communicate now. They don't really have those type of skills, you know. But you know, and we allow this on our watch. But then again, you know, we can change. You know, we can make changes, you know, in our life. But before we go on, I got Dr. Leroy McKenzie on here. You know, I want to discuss another subject. But there's a few people in here. If y'all want to chime in before we get off this subject, because it's extremely important. Your voice is extremely important. So if you have some information on this educational system that can help us at least, and see, I take notes, and guess what else is going to happen? As I tell you, you know, it's not a lot of us on here. But one thing for certain, because of this technology, you see, this thing will go viral. You never know who will be listening to us, who may take up the banner and run with some of the solutions that we have. And some of our people may join forces. So you don't know. This is just a seed that we are planting, and what we're just talking about it now. But guess what? There's already people in here already taking action, already putting things into place. But we, you know, like I say, you know, so don't take this thing lightly. Your voice, Trudy. I hear you want to come on in, Trudy.
Everyone's comment was very interesting. So as usual, here are my thoughts about it. I think the root cause is education, because when you start looking at our society, education transcends across all of our population, every segment there is where education does come in. You know, as usual, we have to seek the kingdom of God first. Separation of church and state, our constitution, what happened to all men created equal. When you start looking at our stories, we're responsible for telling our stories. We have stories. And I'm a baby boomer too. So when I look at it, and even my children are millennials, I talk to my kids all the time and tell them the things that are available to them wasn't available to us. There was no internet. There was none of that. Fast food started in 1962. So when you start talking about college, the great divide was the internet. College was a downfall because, like Dr. Pender said, it's an indoctrination. They make everybody think that you need that, but actually trades is what took us all the way, and that is a dinosaur. That is what's lost. That is where I think our society is going back to. If you look at Germany, Germany used a program that really, that's what they did. You went from school to a trade. You didn't have a choice. You went from school to a trade. If you look at the reading level, everything is really based on a seventh grade level. So when you start talking about all of these things put together, we are a tool for our society to function, and it is up to us to be able to take the responsibility, take our communities back, boycott video games, TV. A lot of that is nothing but subliminal. And when it comes in as a subliminal exchange, that's why our kids are killing ourselves, because they're showing that in these video games. They're showing that online. The media has a responsibility to report the news, but they also stir the pot. That's just like you were talking about, Chris Rock and Will Smith. They're going to stir that pot for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When Mr. Haney was talking about Johnson and Witherspoon, sometimes, and this is just my, maybe they should join forces. I don't know how that looks, because when we run separately, we split our vote. So there goes the solidarity right there, because there should be all of us pushing in the back. I used to do the polls and the vote and all that stuff. But do we have enough registered voters to even make a difference? Where is our voice at there? What have we said to our people? And that's the point. So when we lose, it's our fault. It's our fault because we haven't educated our own community to be able to, so they can adjust their own responsibility. We also have to remember, money is a tool. Money, the love of money, is the root of all evil, and we get into, I got to have more, I need more. I mean, if you can fly to the moon for $2 billion, you could have gave that $2 billion to the homeless or the hungry or whoever. So, I mean, it's up to us at the end of the day that we have to make a difference. And we can create 9 million programs, but if we don't all come together and be one voice, we have to become one voice. We can't be 20 voices. That's why you got 50 churches in a five-mile radius. That's why you got all these groups waving flags and Black Lives Matter. Black lives do matter. But Black Lives Matter is another story, because they got something behind them, too. NAACP, they got something behind them, too. So everything that looks black ain't black, but we need to be black. We need to support our black. We need to look black. We need to stop wanting to be other people, because if you were supposed to be somebody else, you would have been made somebody else.
That's
and
right.
I have grandchildren, too.
All right.
Can I say one thing, Dave?
Yes, sir. Come on in, bro.
Yeah, I just want to say this. And I mean, I appreciate everybody comment, but I just need to say one thing so we clear. Mike and CD is not running against each other, right? This is the first year we have had a partial elected school board. It's 2 seats available. It's 10 or 11 people running. So I think how this thing is going to work, I think you get an opportunity to vote for 2 of the candidates that's running, and I think that just probably be like the primary and the general, the highest 2 will move on, right? You know, so, you know, I don't want people to think that Mike and CD is running against each other, you know, because the reality is that both of them can win, both of them can lose, or one of them can win, right? So, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't see it in terms of us having 2 brothers taking votes away from one another, because even if one of them said, well, I'm going to drop out, they don't say that the people, huh? I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Come back in. He's probably moving around because he said he had some problems. Thank
you, bro.
But look, you know, because we don't have that much time left, but, you know, there's another major issue. You know, like I say, education, we kind of discussed that, and thank God we did. But there's another major issue, man, that
I don't know what happened. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think David froze, Bill.
Yeah, and because we can hear you, Mr. Bill, but I think he lost him.
As I guess we'll wait for Dave to come back. I just didn't want people to think that Mike and City is running against each other, you know, so, you know, it's two seats. And, you know, so, hey, you know, it'd be a good thing if both of them could win.
Yeah, point well taken. I think Dave just switched it over to host, and I think he was going towards Dr. McKenzie. So, you know, until he gets back, I think he just switched me over to the host. So, Dr. McKenzie, I think he was going to you.
Yeah, and I think what he, because he and I actually talked a little bit earlier this evening, but what he was going to bring up was, I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with BCN, Black Cable Network, or BNC, I'm sorry, Black Network Channel, that's what it is, Black Network Channel, that bankrupt last week. It was a major... Yeah, it was a major media channel for Black news. They literally closed their doors down Friday, and it was in all an all frenzy because the folks that worked for them weren't going to get paid. And Roland Martin did a last week. He did when he found this out. He did a on his show. He did a good hour or so. It was almost like a master class, to be honest with you. But he talked about the BNC, their blueprint for how they started their media company, starting it back in 2020, how it was not poised to be successful, just the mistakes that they made. I mean, he was running down numbers, what they should have, you know, how they could have done better, what they needed to do to sustain themselves, just kind of the errors that they had made. And I know, as soon as I watched it, I had sent the video to Brother David because I know he always talks about Black media is only 1% of the media that's out there and the importance of that we have being media outlets. And, of course, I immediately thought about, National Black Media News and what we do here and those things and how we are flourishing and doing things because the BNC, for y'all that don't know, they had one major investor, and that investor invested, I think it was like, I want to say $60 million or something like that. And the company had been losing money these last couple of years. And I'm talking big chunks of money, and evidently the investor decided, hey, I'm not pouring my money, any more of my money, into this sinking ship. So, of course, when your investors go, you no longer have the resources and the means to be able to do what it is that you want to do as a, you know, as a network, as a media source, and everything like that. And when Brother David and I, we were talking about one, having that one investor, just one investor, and that investor is, I think, part owner or major owner of the Miami Dolphins, Jaguars, I'm sorry, the Jacksonville Jaguars. But we talked about the importance of, you know, here it is, this Black-owned network. It wasn't even a Black-owned network. It was just a, I forgot what the term is for it, but it wasn't Black-owned. What was it?
Oh,
he's on the phone. Brother David on the phone. But the having just that one investor was a huge mistake. And I was like, well, man, where are the other investors that they could have had? That way, if you do have someone that says, you know what, I'm not going to any longer be a part of this, you still have the others, and you can pull someone else in. And I was like, well, did the network too not have anyone that they could, anyone else that they had talked to prior to getting to this point where they literally had to shut the doors and couldn't meet payroll? They were fussing about, I mean, there was literally folks that were not going to get paid. I think and when Roland Martin talked about, you know, him making phone calls and stuff like that to ensure that these folks got their last paycheck. You know, and it was a major thing, and we have to understand that the power that of the media and the importance of a National Black Union News, a BNC, that puts our news out there for anyone else. Because if we aren't if we aren't talking about it, no one else is going to talk about it. And that was one of the sad things about BNC going bankrupt and no longer being there. It was a source. It was a source of our news being put out there. Other than Roland Martin, other than, you know, Black National Unity News, I can't think of major Black media outlets that we have or that we utilize. So he wanted to, Brother David wanted to talk about that, you know, that tonight. And like I said, you can check out the video if you go to Roland Martin Unfiltered on YouTube. You'll see it. He talks about the BNC going bankrupt. The whole first maybe 45 minutes or so, he just talks about the business of the BNC and how their business launch, how, you know, the mistakes that they made, what we need to do as business. It was a great masterclass for entrepreneurs. If you're thinking about whether it's media, whether it's if you have your own business, it was great to listen to him to talk about the things that we need to do going into starting the business, not just starting the business, but controlling your expenses and when you start out, but also being able to sustain yourself, how you sustain yourself, the importance of knowing your numbers, how that guides you and being able to control payroll if you have somebody working for you, if you have people working for you, or if it's just you. Being able to do those things that you need to do, and how to be strategic in launching a business and being in business, and those things that you got to think about, and strategically growing. BNC, one of the major things that he talked about was growing too fast. They were trying to do too much too fast, and they didn't have the resources. So it was like almost like a rocket, you know, when they have that rocket fuel, those first, 10 minutes or so when it's pushing itself towards, you know, towards the orbit, it has a lot of jet fuel. It has a lot of jet fuel to be able to get going. But do you have the, you know, as an entrepreneur, do you have the ability to sustain yourself once you've hit those initial, you know, that initial peak that you wanted to get to starting? And BNC didn't have that. And as a result of it, they came crashing back down, because they didn't have what they needed to sustain themselves coming out. And he talked about, you know, launching in a pandemic, which, you know, you can have your ideas of whether they should have done it or not done it. I think they could have done it a different way, and their model might have been flawed in understanding it. But, you know, but that comes with, just understanding business and who you talk to and who you got around you. You know, so that was what Brother David wanted to bring up tonight. I don't know if he's come back on or not, but that's what he wanted to be able to speak about briefly. But like I said, the video, if you go on to YouTube, Roland Martin Unfiltered, you can pull it up. You'll see it there where he talks about the BNC and them going bankrupt, why they went bankrupt, the reasons for it, and he even explains, like I said, he digs deep into the numbers. And what, you know, what they could have done, what they need to do in order to be able to sustain it. And listening to him, he talks about getting the government money that's set aside for media, the money that's out there for media, and how Black media doesn't get that money. They only need a very small percentage of the money that they have. I think he said like $51 billion is used for media, and I think Black media gets maybe 0.01% of that. It was a ridiculously low number, but he was saying that's why he's always fighting for media to be able to get their piece of that money that's geared towards media, because you won't have a BNC going bankrupt. You won't have them having to. They'll at least have a portion of money that they can have to be able to sustain themselves and have additional investors and everything. And even when it comes to, you know, the National Black Unity News, and I know Brother David and Brother Bill, they talk about us, you know, being proud of who we are, not using outside resources to be able to do what it is that we do, because we depend on each other, and we know that within ourselves we have the resources that we need in order to be able to do what it is that we want to do. But we still,
can have that money as a, you know, as a tool to be able to use and move further and everything like that, and not be dependent on it, like a BNC would have been, or BNC was dependent on that one sole investor that they had in the business, and when he decided to go, all of their resources went with him. So it's important for us to be able to understand that, to realize that, and to see that model and say, you know what, here's what they did incorrectly, and we make sure that we don't make those same kinds of mistakes, or we make sure that other businesses don't make those kinds of mistakes that have to do with us in our community and doing what we need to do to sustain ourselves and not only start businesses but keep our business doors open, because that to me is always my goal. It's not about starting a business. It's about having those foundational things in place so that those doors stay open, because there needs to be, like Ms. Trudy was saying, that there needs to be more of us, and we need to support those businesses that we know are out there that are doing the things that we know that they're doing, whatever, you know, however we can support it, whether it's us purchasing from them ourselves or knowing someone that needs that particular kind of product or service, and we can support it that way by referring them to someone else. So that's what we were talking about, Brother Michael.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got disconnected. I still can't get back on, so I had to call in and gave me the blues on that. But I appreciate you kicking the ball rolling. And Brother Leroy, I caught the tail end of what you were saying, but I appreciate your input. But, you know, no matter what, and I just want to say this. You know, in media, education, and everything else that we involved with, they are doing everything possible, as the saying goes these days, keeping their foots on our neck. They infiltrate finance, what they give you, then they take away. If they can't control you, they get rid of you. And so that's why it's so important. I want y'all to hear me very clearly that we support the National Black Unity News the way we have been. You know, everybody do their part. Because it's rare that we can get our information out to the masses of people without being brought or kept by anyone. We are self-supported, self-sustaining. And if everybody does their part, that means that we can go strong, because, like I said, we own less than 1% of this media. I mean, we have very little voice, but the voices we do, like Brother Michael Haney, Tommy Cole, and everybody else who doing broadcasting, we need to get our information. Like I say, Trudy kept saying, we need to tell our narratives, our stories, and we need, like Brother, I heard Brother Leroy McKenzie, we need to support our black media. We can take control of that, you know, and when we start controlling our own things, see, we can take money. The love of money is evil, but you can take money and do some powerful things with it. You can build those better schools, trade schools, entrepreneur schools, educate our own. We can put our own people in office, you know, that would listen to us because we support them. But, you know, we really got to get in this mindset, us doing for us. And so I don't know who's controlling the meat, but I'm going to turn it back over to y'all. Because
I want to tell you that your idea of entrepreneurship school, I love that. That fits you. With a sister, DC, contacted about 2 years ago. She wanted to bring that here, but it didn't take off. But you are a natural entrepreneur. You are, like, committed. And that, young people, they be profound. I think that's something you should seriously consider. That would be powerful. Because you got so much to give. Got so much to teach. I just love that idea.
Okay, well, you know, because like I said, we have to practice what we preach, you know, and we have to take ownership. And so, you know, we can entertain that, but you know, it does take the village. You know, it takes one to get it started, but it does take the village and those who are educators, those who have experiences in life, which we all do. And if we are truly committed to making change, not only for ourselves, but for our family and our future generations, then by all means, let's do it. And, you know, and for those
to the
like
group,
me,
Brother Cliff group on the 13th, we should bring that up, your idea. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, but we'll do that, too. And at the same time, people like Brother Haney has already got some things on the ball, already in the mix. And so when they ready to share and launch what we do, you know, we need to get behind this brother, because I know this brother is committed. And so, yeah, you know, so, you know, and like Tommy Cole saying, you know, there's people who are doing some homeschooling, very successful. And in the D.C. area, they got a lot of great charter schools and stuff that, you know, that we can take a look at. But then again, it really don't take a lot but committed people to do what we need to get done. It's not like I say, you know, yes, there is financial, but sometimes small beginning, because that's exactly what happened to, like, Brother Leroy was speaking about. You know, these brothers started off, first of all, they didn't have enough money to deal with the system that they were dealing with. And then they had to go get outside money to control that, you know. And so it's a lot behind these things, you know. But like I say, it's whose money you use and how you use the money. And something, some of the simple things of life are free. And so again, you know, I appreciate everybody on here. Unfortunately, they tried to quench our voices for one reason or another, but that's normal. And but still, that don't stop no show. And so, you know, and for those of you who have things, you know, boiling in the pot, you know, let's get it done and get busy, because I'm available and I'm ready to do what I can with the tools that I have. And but like I say, the worst thing, and we all know this on here, the worst thing can happen to us is to die with all of this experience and expertise that we learned over the years and carry it to the grave and not share and put that knowledge and wisdom on some of our younger folks, and so they can carry the baton. And so back to you, Brother McKinley, Brother Satawi, and Michael Thomas. Y'all got it from here, sir.
Thank you, David. Greetings, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. If I were a judge,
you are muted.
You know,
you can
Supreme
mute
Court
or
judge,
unmute
say, for
yourself.
Example, the case, you know,
you
and the
unmuted.
Attorney brought everything that we have to the table here, even though this is not a case. You know, it's not a live case. You know, but if the attorney brought it to the judge, of course the attorney would have to have more information, you know. And as far as the problem is concerned, whatever the problem may be in the black diaspora, I don't think that we have a solution, you know. Another thing, I think black people fear white people. You're the number one in religion, in economics, and in politics. But I don't think we have a strong enough agenda, you know, to really pull us out of this, because we have 75,000 different topics. You know, we're talking about different things, and no one has a concrete plan to cover the United States. And I comprehend, I appreciate all the service that we do, even though we may not be military. But thanks for all the service that we do. But no one has a plan that covers all 3,142 U.S. counties, all 50 states, whereby we can unify 1,000 great miles. A critical point of that is media. Now, BNC went out. BNC was European finance, okay, capitalized. It went out. They put $60 million into it, okay? $60 million should make every black person in it. We shouldn't even have poverty in black or in America with $60 million. And so the money was, whatever you call it, you know, it was spendthrifted, you know, it needed more guidance. But media is a critical thing that we don't have in all 3,142 U.S. counties. If there's any black media, we may have Jet Magazine and what's that other magazine, Black Enterprise, it may be in the counties, but they don't have a plan, you know, to bail us out of this education system. They don't have a plan to bail us out of this economic system. And the degrees that we're getting, you know, we're still relying on a stamp of approval from the European education system with these degrees. And we get confidence with these degrees. We get high confidence with these degrees, but we're still not getting anywhere, even though we're doing things in our localities. But until we can get something to grab a hold of the 40 million people in all of these counties, we don't have a head. We don't have a central processing unit. We don't have a chief administrative mechanism or a plan for a chief administrative mechanism. We're relying on the political system of the European voting and that kind of thing. Voting comes up every year or every 2 years or every 4 years, but what's happening in between those times where we don't have control? We're talking about taking control. We need to take command. And when we take command, that means we write our own plan. Here's what the plan going to be, and here's what we're going to execute. But media is a critical thing to getting into the homes of all the 40 million people, in black people in this country. Until we can do that, I don't see politics working for us. I don't see economics working for us. I don't see psychology working for us. I don't see suicide coming up. I don't see crime going down. None of that, because we don't have media in the homes of the 40 million black people. Because, and I'll close out with this. If we took 1% of 1 year's income one time from black people's $1.4 trillion, if they could donate that to 1,000 great minds, 1% one time, $1 out of 100, one time, that would be $14 billion put into our bank. Just a simple thing. Just 1% one time for 1 year. 1% of 14 or 1.4 trillion is $14 billion, but we don't have a command station to receive it. We don't have a central processing unit. And so I think that when we can get the media in their home and get these donations like the Internal Revenue Service, get them every year, pay your taxes. Until we can do that, I think we're spinning our wheels. Thank you.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, your idea of an entrepreneur academy is a great idea. That's something that can really remedy the problem that we have from each generation to the next generation, because if we teach young people how to create a job for themselves, they'll be looking for jobs. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that I was doing through the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. And, you know, it turned out pretty good. We had a couple students, but we weren't able to do it on a mass scale. And so I like your idea, and I think, you know, that we that's something that we need to work on. And then for models, and then each different city, or each different state can have entrepreneur academies that teach the young people how to create a business and be able to be successful with their business. So hold on to that idea. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Murphy, can you hear me? Hello.
I can hear you, Mr. Umoja. You sound loud and clear.
Okay, tell Mr. Johnson what he asked for. It does exist. Everything that he said, if we have the plan and everything that he asked for, it does exist. That will and can affect all the counties, cities, and states in this country. It does exist. And one day we'll sit down and get us together and we can talk about it and I can explain it to him. It already exists. And some of the people on this call, I've already talked to them about it, simply not in depth, but it does exist.
Is Brother David with us, or did we lose
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's looking to ensure everybody had an opportunity to comment. There's a couple people that haven't, and he may not be able to, you know, control the talk, so I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to comment.
Right.
But I think he wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to comment that wanted to comment.
Okay, I'll comment. I enjoyed the conversation tonight. I'm definitely in support of you know, what's been said.
What's
Mr. Vernon, I think you went back on mute. We were hearing you loud and clear.
Yes. So I'm definitely in support with everything that's been said. If anybody need any help, I'm available to help out.
Fantastic. Was there anyone else that wanted to comment? Hey, Brother Bill, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I can, man. I just wanted to make sure you were around as my elder, at least. I'm not going to say our elder, so that you can decide when it's a good opportunity to close this out. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, man.
Well, you know, first let me just say thank you, and thank you to everybody. I mean, normally, you know, it's from 7:30 to 8:30, so, you know, we're right here at 9 o'clock. So, I mean, unless somebody got something urgent to say, I think we should close on out.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. Great conversation, everyone. And Trudy, thank you so much for sharing. Miss Trudy, really appreciate it. But look forward to tomorrow night. I think we got a call as well. Dr. McKenzie. Brother Rico, no need in asking him. He doesn't say much anyway, but, you know, how you doing, Brother Rico? I didn't mean to call you out like that. He's still not going to say nothing.
He ain't going to say too much.
Yeah, I pushed that button. It didn't work. No. Well, you all have a good evening.
All right, everybody. Good night.
Peace and blessings, everybody. Appreciate y'all.
Good
night. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mike. You, Michael, you have the, Brother Haney, you have the control over there? You better shut it down?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to sign it out, okay.
All right, have a good evening, everybody.
Good evening to you.
Goodbye.
We come to the end of another broadcast of the National Black Unity News podcast. And we'll close out with the song. Until next week. Tune in again next week. And you can hear more information about the things that's going on in the black world.
Up to what I want.
Good night.